How to avoid drafting a bust. Should we pass on Zeke? One of the most important questions you need answered for your fantasy football draft is, how do I find value? How do I avoid the bust? Well, we're going to talk about the running back position today. Before we do, let's talk a little bit about following us at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. We are dropping almost daily content all the time. Also, make sure you check out the new revamped Razzball Fantasy podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you're going for a jog, just listen to Bob while you get to that mile. And we're going to running back bust in just a minute, but also make sure you go to razzball.com. We have daily content dropping on the written side as well. We have great sleepers, breakouts, busts, offensive line changes, injury risk analyzers. We have it all over there. We have trade name generators, pretty much everything you need for your fantasy league have over at razzball.com. So make sure you check it out. We also have basketball, hockey, and football. But without further ado, let's start the show. All right, folks, obviously today I had to go get out the big guns and bring in Sky Gawasco. You can find him at Sky Gawasco on Twitter. Sky, what's going on, man?
What up, Bobo? We got some great news today. One of our late round tight ends is back in action. I know you're excited about that. And, you know, we don't talk defense very often in fantasy football, but we do talk Ducks and we do talk New York football Giants between you and me. And my man, Kayvon Thibodeau, big-time rookie, top five pick, goes down early, was fearing the injury. Little bit bummed. Other than that, though, man, it is ready to go, and it's running back show, which arguably is the most important position. I know that doesn't matter for NFL purposes, but in fantasy football, if you don't have quality running backs, it's very hard to be successful.
Absolutely. Today's show is essentially an article that I wrote probably in March, and we actually did a show on it previously, but we're bringing it to the forefront because this is fantasy football draft week, folks. This week and next week are probably the two most busiest years. Now, remember, week three has not happened yet. That's this weekend. So a lot of takeaways from last weekend, but still, we're still got a little starters. We have some competitions we want to see, but today's show is really to identify what factors go into drafting a bust and essentially, on the flip side, finding the value in drafts. Now, this isn't our bust. We're not talking about players we think are busts. This is an analysis we did to figure out what factors go into players becoming a bust. Now, Sky, I'm going to just take a minute. I'm going to walk through the five things that really kind of really impact running backs in your season-long fantasy. Now, before I do, when you think about this, before we get into it, now I know you've peeked behind the curtain, but like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You're thinking, okay, I'm avoiding X player. What's the reason? Because what's the factor that goes into you thinking that player is going to be a bust?
It's going to be snap percentage. It's going to be offensive scheme. It's going to be maybe injury history. And I'm not talking like one-offs, but like maybe it's age. Maybe it's a high riser behind them. I mean, a classic example, and I'm not a Zeke hater this year. I'm actually, I think, against the grain. I'm actually into Zeke personally. But that's been a hot topic all summer, which is like Zeke's burnout. He's finished. Tony Pollard coming up hot. It's like, okay. But if that doesn't happen and you skip on Zeke, he might be top five again and Tony Pollard could not happen. But if Zeke does go down, Tony Pollard could be that top five back too. So those are kind of tough with handcuffs. But for me, man, it's going to be who's getting the rock most often, who's securing the football, because one of our favorite fantasy football running backs has kind of lost his job in the last couple of days because he can't hold on to the football. So for me, it's going to be snap share. It's going to be trust. It's going to be scheme. And I want to make sure that he's healthy coming in at least.
So this is the other thing too about this. With Zeke last year, there's a lot of talk about the injury and his PCL injury. But really what really impacted Zeke Elliott was that Tony Pollard earned a bigger share of the workload. His touches per game were down anywhere from 6 to 8 last year. That's why his fantasy points dipped. His efficiency wasn't that bad compared to his most recent year. So I think the thing that worries me about Zeke is the fact that he actually has a lot of competition. But let's get into it. The first thing I want to talk about is injured players. Now, a lot of us will talk about J.K. Dobbins, Travis Etienne, James Robinson, Cam Akers. Now, in a study that we recently did at razzball.com, we actually just looked at positional PPR points per game finish versus positional points per game, positional ADP. Now, what I found out was that based on quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, any way you shake it, there's about a 70% miss rate on their ADP. Injuries matter. And it does not matter when they get injured. A lot of people think, oh, he got injured in the preseason. Listen, Cam Akers came back from his injury last year, but there's still a lot of hesitation on Cam Akers because the injuries tend to linger. They're not 100%. Even Travis Etienne. By the way, Travis Etienne is averaging like 3 yards per carry in the preseason, and he has one big run of 12 yards. If you take that away, he's averaging like 2.4 yards per carry. It's not looking great for him on the ground. He should get a decent amount of work, but injuries play a huge factor in all this because based on the numbers we're seeing, it is pretty high. So I think injured players is one of the key factors. And listen, we're going to go through each one of these factors first, and then me and Sky are going to talk quickly about some of the players we wanted to highlight that you should be targeting in your drafts. So, Sky, give me a moment. I'll get to you in just a second. The second thing is ADP. Now, a lot of people talk about the dead zone. And honestly, I know this isn't anything new to everybody, but it actually is a huge factor. Running back ADP is a thing. So when you look at running back ADP last year, so on average, running backs one through three in rounds one through three were about minus 4.2 versus their actual ADP versus their points per game finish. So they're about four spots lower. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that guys are being drafted in the top. You're getting the running backs one through 10. So if they finish, if you drafted an RB8 and they finish RB12, it's still a great finish, but that would be a negative outcome in this analysis. However, when you start getting into round 4 to 7, it drops to negative 10.6. So in those middle rounds, rounds 4 to 6, you're expected to get a minus 10%, 10 position spot difference. So if you draft a guy RB15 in the fourth round, on average, those guys finish RB25. So there is a legit issue when you draft guys in rounds 4 to 7. And then when you go to rounds 8 through 15, so basically the top 180, it's actually two spots higher. Of course, a lot of that has to do with draft capital. These guys are being drafted extremely late. So if a guy just drafted at running back 27 but finishes at RB25, technically that's a plus outcome. But still, that's a huge difference, right? So you know you can get decent value for guys much later in drafts. Those guys are more often returning value versus the guys in the middle round. So that is actually a huge factor in all this. So basically what that tells you is the running back dead zone is a thing. So make sure you've checked that out when you're drafting guys. And me and Sky are going to talk about some dead zone running backs later that might actually be decent for fantasy. The next is the ambiguous backfield. Now, this kind of plays a little bit off of what we just talked about, running back ADP. And this was made popular a lot by J.J. Zacharyson, so I have to give credit to him on this. But what we mean by ambiguous backfield, essentially in this analysis, they don't have a starting running back drafted in the first round of fantasy, the first four rounds of fantasy. Have a running back drafted in the top 48 to 50, then you have an established number one. An ambiguous backfield does not have that. So these are running backs like, for example, New England with Damian Harris and Ramaje Stevenson going in the 7th, 8th round. You have running backs like Chase Edmonds going in the 7th round, CEH for in the 7th round, Miles Sanders in the 7th round. Those guys are considered ambiguous backfield. So those are another way to find value and avoid busts in fantasy. So if you want to try to find value in your drafts, look for those ambiguous backfields instead of drafting an RB2 in that range who already has an established RB1 that you drafted in the first four rounds. For example, some guys that usually buck the trend is like a Kareem Hunt, for example, because Nick Chubb's early on. But most part, that's not a good bet. Let's talk about quarterback ADP. Now, quarterback ADP, what I found in my analysis was that bottom 16 quarterbacks in ADP versus top 16. On average, the delta for top 16, you basically almost got returned value. So if your quarterback ADP was top 16 for those running backs, they essentially were even. Like if you draft a guy RB10 and his quarterback was a top 16, he finishes RB10. However, when you draft guys at the bottom 16, minus 6. So if you on average, if you drafted the RB10, but his quarterback was the QB27 in ADP, he finished average finishes RB16. So I hope this makes all sense. But literally, it's a lot of information. Understanding that you want to invest, just to kind of give you a quick summary through the things we talked about so far. Avoid injured players. Avoid that running back dead zone. And try to find uncertain backfields where both the starter and the backup are going after round 5. That is the key for what we talked about before. And the final key is that quarterback ADP matters. You want to attack Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, running backs in those backfields versus Marcus Mariota, for example. Sorry, we love Mariota. He's our boy. Be a sneaky play this year. The final one I want to bring up is PFF offensive line grades. Now, the reason why I'm bringing all this stuff up right now is this is stuff we know right now. This is stuff that we know today. I'm not looking in hindsight at the end of the season. Hey, by the way, so you're bored drafting a bust. No, this is stuff that we know right now today that we can look up. So PFF offensive line grades. Now, this is actually a little bit more flexible in the sense that a top 20 running back, the difference is about 4 ADP spots. So if there's a top, top 20 offensive line grade according to PFF versus a bottom 12 team, so 21 plus, is about a 4 ADP point per game gap difference. So on average, you get about your return, maybe one or two spots lower. If you draft a guy that is at a top 20 PFF offensive line, that number falls all the way to minus 6 again if you draft a player that is, for example, PFF's number 30 line. So the point of that exercise was that better offensive lines produce better running backs. So these are just, they might sound marginal, four spots in ADP, but these little, if you start adding all these things up, you're really going to find a lot of value in your drafts. So Sky, before we get into our picks for players that are studs, sleepers, potential busts, and also maybe some loopholes, talk to us. Maybe what's the one thing out of everything I discussed that kind of caught your attention?
Ambiguous backfields for sure. First of all, JJ Zacharyson is one of the best in the industry, in my opinion. I listen to his late round podcast all the time. So Razzballers, if you're looking for something else, well, another bite sizer, of course, you know, we're not trying to send you somewhere else in breadth of Razzball. But in addition, I just think JJ does a great job of breaking things down analytically as we do here on the show. So good listen. What JJ does with the ambiguous backfields, I think is a great talking piece and notable thing to bring into your draft. And Bob, while you're talking about that, I was just going off the top. And to be honest, I hadn't broke everything down here. So some of these might be a little bit off and I'm sure I'm missing a team or two, but right off the top of my head, we're talking about backfields where the starter and the backup are not getting drafted in, let's say, the fourth, fifth, sixth round. Off the top of my head, it's probably Buffalo, maybe Vegas. If Jacobs doesn't get picked early, Miami, Washington with Gibson falling off a cliff, Atlanta, who doesn't even have a running back, and then Seattle potentially as well with Penny a little bit beat up and Walker on potential. So there's probably a couple more teams there as well. So that's going to be something that I bring into last year, right? It was the Cardinals, James Conner and Chase Edmonds. And I know Bob was a big proponent of just getting both of them. Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell, just get both of them. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are very expensive, but it's the same idea, right? So that is definitely something I'm bringing away.
Well, Hunt is less expensive this year.
He is now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. I think Hunt is actually more of a – is actually someone I'm more interested this year because you could get him, like, in that seventh, eighth round.
Yeah.
And I think – actually went in the sixth in the draft I recently did. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about some of those running back studs that actually fall – so now the whole practice is, okay, well, you guys gave us all this information. Who are the players that qualify the most that fit into these holes that you could get? Now we're getting away from bus. We're going to talk about the players you want to target in your drafts that either have are in ambiguous backfields, fit the ADP model, have a top 16 quarterback, have a top 20 offensive line, and are not injured going into the season. So those factors all went into this. And let's talk about some of the studs. At the bottom of the screen, you see them scrolling. It is Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Javonte Williams, Leonard Fournette, and Ezekiel Elliott, believe it or not, who actually check most of these boxes. So, Sky, I know you wanted to talk about one of these players. Which stud is on your radar?
I'm going to go Austin Eckler here. Last year, career year across the board, doubled his rushing attempts from about 116 to 206, which is impressive. Then he had the most rushing yards of his career at 911, again, almost doubling his previous career high. 70 receptions, which is the second most he's ever had. 650 yards, second most he's ever had. And 20 total touchdowns, 12 of those being rushing touchdowns, unless, again, with everybody, obviously, I hate to even say it, without injury, there's no way Austin Eckler's not top five and probably top three. He's going to get the workload. He's going to get the receiving work. We know that the Chargers have a top five offense. We know that Justin Herbert is arguably, you know, top one if you want to take him over Josh Allen, which I'm going to this summer, but either top three, either way. This offense is going to be scoring a lot of points. They're going to be scoring often. They're in the most high-flying division in the entire league, which I love as well, just for opportunity probability there for him as well. So again, Austin Eckler, the only thing I'm concerned about outside of injury, obviously, would just be workload. He's not a big back. He's a smaller back, right? He's kind of a scat back, if you will. Last year, a career high with 206 carries, but that's not very many carries for a starting running back, right? I mean, Mixon had 360 carries and Austin Eckler had 160 less, right? But top of the food chain in receptions, efficiency, both on the ground and through the air, scores a lot of touchdowns for a guy his size. And he is a true three down back. He gets better on third down versus wearing down or maybe be taken out like Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry, for example. So Austin Eckler for me is hands down the least, the most bust proof outside of injury up at the top.
Wow. I had him on the Rams. Could you imagine? Wow. Over my head. Anyway, losing my mind today. All right. Jumping up to my pick. My
another stuff. Reason to fade Cam Akers.
So anyway, mine's Joe Mixon. I don't think he's getting the top five running back treatment at all. And the weirdest part about this is Joe Mixon has elite workload. He's one of the very few running backs that can get you 350 carries this season. Now, a lot of it is like hands-off because he doesn't get a lot of passing game work. But here's a couple of huge factors. Number one, he has an elite quarterback now. Not just any quarterback. He has an elite quarterback, a guy that's going consistently in the top 10 ADP. He checks that box, hands down. And Joe Burrow, by the way, I know he did have like the appendectomy, right?
Appendix removed.
Appendix removed. There you go. He's not coming off that serious knee injury. He's going to be better this year, I believe. The other thing is the offensive line, folks. Cincinnati, over the last 5 years, has been a bottom five offensive line almost every season. Last year, they made a little bit of a jump, but this year, they made a huge leap by bringing in three studs along with Williams, and now they're actually ranked inside the top 10 for PFF. So really, when it comes down to it, is like, can he get you that high? So this is the thing. Over the second half of 2020, he averaged 20.7 PPR points per game. It was the RB3, and he did that on 4 yards per carry, folks. He wasn't even a good runner because he has that elite workload. Plus, because the Bengals started throwing a little bit more, they ended up getting a little bit more in the passing game. All he needs is about 3 to 4 targets a game to really give him an elite ceiling. So I believe that Joe Mixon is a stud that you should go target in your draft. Let's jump down to the top running back sleepers based on these categories, guys. The three guys that come to mind, Devin Singletary, Kenneth Gainwell, and Chase Edmonds, because they check the most boxes. So tell us which player you want to talk about.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Kenny Gainwell for a number of reasons. First of all, I was excited about him coming out last year in the draft. I was premature on drafting him everywhere I could in redraft because I just didn't believe in Miles Sanders, which was accurate, but Kenny Gainwell wasn't the top dog because, again, they had four other running backs there. I don't think that's going to happen. Boston Scott's going to get his 4 touchdowns this year versus the Giants. Other than that, I'm not worried about him. Miles Sanders has already come up with another hamstring injury. We know that Jalen Hurts is going to take a big step forward and rushing the ball. Kenny Gainwell is going to be on third downs. I think he's just going to be a better overall option more often than not than Miles Sanders will be. Miles Sanders was very efficient last year, 5.3 yards per carry. I appreciate that. Did not score a touchdown. I know that's a terrible red flag for somebody that considers himself a fantasy analyst. That will regress up, I'm sure. But Kenny Gainwell did have 7 touchdowns last year. He had 7 as a rookie, and somehow Miles Sanders, who played almost every down when he was healthy, had 0. So I like Kenny Gainwell. And again, we're talking value here with some of these guys. A sleeper, Miles Sanders is not a sleeper. He's probably closer to a bust, in my opinion, or you break even. Kenny Gainwell is much more popular this year than he was last year, of course. But you're getting him as your RB4-5 handcuff. And by week 5, it would not surprise me at all if he is the early downs or at least the most popular running back and most effective running back in Philadelphia.
So when I'm looking at this, one of the things that makes no sense to me is Devin Singletary. Like,
no.
I understand
but
that
it's Singletary, Buffalo. It's not him. It's Buffalo.
I understand, but like, he's on an offense. We just went over all this, right? Buffalo has a top 20 offensive line. We know that. He has Josh Allen, by the way, who's a freaking stud. We know that he doesn't have a problem there. By the way, he's in an ambiguous backfield, by the way, because he's the first running back typically taken. Actually, I just got him in the 8th round of my draft, and he went 1 pick after James Cook.
Yeah.
James Cook has been playing with like the second, third team. Like, he hasn't even passed up Zach Moss necessarily yet. Singletary, and by the way, this is the thing about Singletary. We did this last year. He was actually one of the people we talked about in our article, the article I wrote about this, because he was one of the breakouts last year because he was in an ambiguous backfield last year. The problem is they didn't fully give Singletary the workload that he deserved until the end of the year. And if you just take a look at the stats from the last few weeks of the regular season into the playoffs, the dude went nuclear. And I understand that James Cook plays a role as the passing game specialist, but the problem is this is a win-now football team who's not going to say, hey, Rook, why don't you go in there on third downs and protect our freaking franchise quarterback? People, it's not going to happen. It's Devin Singletary's backfield, at least for this season redraft. The other thing I heard, this is a tidbit, which is why you watch preseason games. They actually changed their run scheme over the second half of last year because they were struggling on the ground, and that's when you saw the tables turn. Oh, when I heard that, I'm like, Devin Singletary, let's go. So I am all in. I just got my first taste of Devin Singletary. Couldn't be happier, folks. All right, let's jump down to top running back red flag. So this is a combination of players coming off injury and or don't check a lot of these boxes off. So, Scott, we're taking a trip to negative town here. J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, Gus Edwards, the Jaguars RBs, David Montgomery, and Damian Harris. Who's the guy you wanted to talk about in this section?
Unfortunately, it's Cam Akers, who I love as a player, and I was really excited about last year coming back healthy. Of course, he had the Achilles injury and had to come back from that and waited and looked okay in spurts. But with getting 20 carries per game for about four games down the stretch last year, wasn't as efficient or dominant as you would assume a running back would be in the Rams offense, who ultimately ended up winning the Super Bowl, of course. And let's not forget the ghost of Todd Gurley, right? He's still – Todd Gurley, folks, still – has the most touchdowns scored since 2016. He hasn't played in 2 years. What he did as a Rams running back was insane, and we thought Cam Akers would kind of be that next guy. Well, Darrell Henderson is still around. Darrell Henderson last year had 80 more carries than Cam Akers. I know Cam Akers will get more work this year, I'm sure. But again, like Miles Sanders, Akers already has a couple injuries as well, and we know that Sean McVay wants to be Kyle Shanahan, all right? He has come out multiple times this particular season as the Rams are usually a one-back system, run till the wheels fall off, find the next guy, run till the wheels fall off. He came out this year and was like, you know what? We haven't been able to find a steady running back since Todd Gurley. We have to have a committee, whether it's third down, mixing up drives, short yardage guy, passing downs guy, whatever. It's Henderson and Akers at least. They got a couple rookies over there too. And they're going to be a pass-happy offense in a great division defensively. For me, man, it's just, again, it's always about draft cost. I'm just not feeling it because you can have Henderson show up any given week and dominate carries and touches and touchdowns for no reason. Plus, Cam Akers is a great athlete, but I'm worried about his injury history and I'm worried about the usage on that team. There's other backs in that ambiguous area. Dobbins is on here, right? There's other guys on here, the Jaguars, we don't know. Montgomery, there's a lot of upside here, and Cam Akers for me, unfortunately, has too much downside to look at the upside.
Okay, so a lot of these guys are injury based, and we've done a lot of research. We have an injury guy come in here, so my guy is actually J.K. Dobbins. And so, in some of this, there's a couple factors. Number one, Dobbins does have a couple box check, they do have a top 20 offensive line, and he has Lamar Jackson, so that is good. But the other thing is, like, look at I don't understand where the upside, all this talk about Dobbins being like a top, 15 back, 12 back. He was the RB34 in PPR points per game in 2020. Okay. So right there, why is that? Because he was splitting work with Gus Edwards that season. Even after the Mark Ingram trade, it was still a split backfield. And I understand that Gus and him are both are they going to be ready for week one? But they seem relatively similar in timeline. Even if J.K. Dobbins is ahead of him, he's not going to be 100%. By the time he gets to 100%, Gus Edwards is going to be back. So it worries me just from, forget about the injury itself, which is the number one red flag about this whole situation. It's the fact that when he was on the field just 2 years ago, healthy, coming out of college, the promise, the 6 yards per carry, this epic guy, he averaged 11 PPR points per game. He wasn't even a top 30 running back on a per game basis because he splits the backfield with Gus Edwards. So unless they change their entire philosophy to make J.K. Dobbins the workhorse, I don't understand why you're going to take a shot on a guy who's going to be splitting the backfield, who, by the way, is coming off a serious injury. By the way, sixscore.com doesn't even – they have him in, like, the 60s for, like, his six score. So he's not even, like, not even close to 90%. So I don't know where this is coming from, where everyone thinks that J.K. Dobbins has, like, this top 15 upside. Unless Gus Edwards has a setback and then J.K. Dobbins is this lone back, I don't see it. So I'm fading him. All right. Enough of negativity. Let's have some fun with this. So not everything has to be so, you know, cut and dry. Who's the dead zone guys that kind of caught our interest? There's three of them. Elijah Mitchell, Miles Sanders, CEH. So talk to us, Sky. Who's the loophole you're willing to take a shot on in that dead zone?
Well, if you've listened to the first 24 minutes of this podcast, you know it's clearly not Miles Sanders. So let's narrow it down to Elijah Mitchell and CEH. For me, it's Elijah Mitchell. All I'm worried about for Elijah Mitchell is health. That's it. A's on the 49ers, and they have not been able to stay healthy. It's been miraculous that no matter who the starter is or the third stringer or the fourth stringer on this 49ers team, they've been hurt over the last 5 years. It's unbelievable. If he can stay healthy, Elijah Mitchell is going to return value and then some. Last year, as a sixth-round rookie pick who was fourth or fifth on the depth chart starting the summer, ended up with the fourth most carries in the entire NFL. Joe Mixon, Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris, Elijah Mitchell. He's not going to get a lot of work in the pass game. We know that, but in half PPR and non-PPR, if people still play that, that is the running back I want. He's going to run and run and run. We know the Niners don't swap out their running backs. As long as he's healthy, he's going to get all the work. Some people are worried about Trey Lance taking more work. Sure. In my opinion, though, just watching football, I don't know. It's like some of those guys, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance, the Bills don't use a running back. But those guys, it's less about them taking carries away from the running back. It's more if they keep the ball and run 6 yards on a scramble and get a first down because no one's paying attention to them, they extend the drive. That's probably three more carries for Elijah Mitchell. I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? The Bills are weird because they don't use a running back and Josh Allen. But everybody else with a rushing quarterback, I actually like that a little bit. So Elijah Mitchell, for me, man, if he stays healthy, it's easy. You just have to worry about the injury concern. Him not playing the preseason, I think, is actually good news right now. So let's just bubble wrap this guy, hope for the best. And look, man, I've been talking about Jeff Wilson for 5 years on these shows. Put him in your back pocket if you have Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, we've talked that a bunch of times. We're on the same page with Jeff Wilson. We're a big Jeff Wilson podcast.
Yeah, all right, last one. J-Dubs, I call him. We're pretty close.
I know. It's like, where's the jersey on the wall, Sky? That's what I want to know.
I got an update, man. I just moved. I got an update soon.
All right. CEH is mine, last one. And I was high on CEH last year, and unfortunately, like, it didn't necessarily work out for me. I'll admit that. It was a weird start, right? So he has these two games where he plays Cleveland and Baltimore and doesn't do well. Then he has back-to-back 100-yard games. Then he gets hurt. So it's tough because I thought in my mind, I'm like, all right, you know, CEH started showing promise and then he gets hurt. The problem is then the guy that really took on a lot of the work last year, Darrell Williams, he leaves in free agency. They bring back Jerick McKinnon. But then the big signing was Ronald Jones. And Ronald Jones is going to come in and challenge CEH. Ronald Jones hasn't played a snap in the preseason with Patrick Mahomes. You know who's been playing most of the snaps? CEH. I just have a feeling in the seventh round. See, listen, last year I was drafting him at the 2-3 turn. Now you get this guy at the 6-7 turn easily. I just got him in the seventh round in my draft. You're getting a guy tied to Patrick Mahomes on a top five potential offensive line who's bringing back all five starters. So that is huge right there. On top of the fact that he's a part of an ambiguous backfield now because he's the number one player. And the player that is the biggest threat to his carries is not even getting playing time with the ones yet. Isaiah Pacheco, which we all like, is a seventh round rookie. Okay? So I just have a feeling, just call me nuts, that CEH might be someone that is probably going to get a lot of work and probably get goal line work in a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid offense. I understand the second Burns, but now he's going in the seventh round. Call me crazy, folks. I'm willing to take a shot on that. Well, that's all we got for today, folks. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on TikTok, IG, and also at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. We're going to be bringing a lot more content over the next few days. Tomorrow, we'll be dropping this same episode for wide receivers, but today's episode is the running back edition. Make sure you also go follow that man at Sky Gawasco. You can follow him on Twitter at Sky Gawasco. Thank you for joining. We are out of here.